Man, he's just been good, because in the times when it's hard and pressing and difficult to get along with everything that we're going through, God has just proven to show himself even greater, proven to show himself even mightier. Even when we thought that we had an understanding of how great that he is, or how good that he can be, or how much that he can provide, or how much that he can show his glory, there's just so much more that God does that amazes me. It just takes me to a whole new level of faith. Takes me to a whole new level of understanding. And I begin to think, now, Lord, what can I begin to do, God, to enhance my ability to be able to enjoy myself, God, in your service? What can I do to be able to enjoy everything, God, that there is in you? Because lately it seems like that sometimes that when we go through everything that we do in life, that we lose our joy and worship. We lose our joy in being able to pray. You know, a prayer just becomes a reciting of everything we know we should say. Reading the Bible just becomes knowing what we should read. And there's no fruitfulness or enjoyment out of that. And God began to put some of these scriptures on my heart. And man, what a blessing that it was to begin to read some of these. And so I'd kind of put them close together so I'd be able to go through them quickly. And the connection kind of to them all was that the blessing that was unlocked for people was that the spiritual encounter they had with God through the obedience that they had with God. And when you read some of these, the first parts in the book of Isaiah in chapter 6, and Isaiah began to have a vision, if you will, and it says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this had touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see you indeed, but perceive not. And man, when you think about that, and when Isaiah received this revelation, that was kind of the moment that he received the word that sent him out. There was more than one occasion when people received something from God, a word, a vision, a dream, some form of active obedience, and without heeding to what God began to say and stepping out and doing it, oh, what they would have missed out on. How many words wouldn't have went forth without the stepping out of Isaiah? And how we miss out on so many things when we hear from God and just don't heed to God. And I thought, Lord, we have so many services, God, where you pass by. Lord, and I could just get up and praise you. Or Lord, when I get down to pray at night, I could just praise you in my prayer. Or Lord, when I'm reading your word, I could just begin to really pull the meaning out of that and let it grow in my life. And let it become something greater in me. In other words, let it become an encounter that I can remember. I can definitely remember when I get pulled over for speeding. That's an encounter that you remember. Or I can remember going up to a restaurant and going to pay for the food that you already ordered and not having your wallet. That's an encounter that we remember. So I definitely remember having encounters with the Holy Ghost, especially when it begins to speak to me in a way that I know that I need to heed unto it. There's many other times that you begin to read about this, and I think, Lord, why aren't we getting a hold of it in the way that we should be? And you read on in Matthew 28, and you read about the 11 disciples. If you read verses 16 through 20, if you want to do it, I feel led to go ahead and move quickly on this. It talks about the Great Commission. Jesus began to speak to them, and he said that you can go ahead and go preach in the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. He gave them the word to go ahead and do it.
And what a ministry that went out from that point forward with all of the disciples and all of the things that we begin to read of and how that God begins to speak to each and every one of us in the day that we live in. But it seems like that we cannot hear the Word of God like it should be preached. We don't hear praise and worship like it really should be sung. It's commercialized. It's kind of watered down. The Word of God's watered down. Our prayers are watered down. It's what I think I need in my life, what I think I want to do in my life, what I think I should be preaching to please people, or what I think I should be singing to please people, or what I think I should be saying to witness to people. But in that time when they received the witness of God by the Holy Ghost, they said things that God even told them before they said it. They're not going to hear what you say. God gave them even the benefit then. And sometimes I know in my heart before I preach, I know they're going to reject this, Junior. I know in my heart it's going to be crickets. But I try my best to have an energy to try to get people excited. But when the Word of God's going to cut us down, tell us that we're not doing like we should be, sometimes it's going to hurt the people of God. But if we're going to stay people of God, we've got to have a spiritual encounter. We've got to have moments in our week where we get down and really communicate with God to where we feel the presence of the Spirit. We've got to be able to come in here, even with the number that we have tonight, and be able to feel the presence of the Spirit. And listen, if we're not able to do it with the number we have tonight, don't expect to be able to do it with 50 more, because it's not based on the numbers that you have. It's not based on the amount of money that you have in a building or how much that we can throw up on a new building. It's what you have that dwells inside of your heart. And I begin to think, Lord, how many people have you commissioned, God, that has fell short of what you've called them to do? I could sit here and we could go down a list. Everybody knows the list of all the people that's been called into the ministry that ran fast and slowed down and stopped, that didn't make it all the way, that never made it out the gate. And I don't want us to get to a place where we run out of the gate and go real fast, get short-winded and slow down. We've got to follow the Spirit and get commissioned by God and hear His Word and keep going. That's how we are refreshed. How many of us know that tonight? That's how we're continually rejuvenated. That's how we get that water when we're tired. That's how we get that refreshing to go forward. And I know that when I get weary personally, even when we preach here week after week, I get refreshed by the commissioning of what God would tell me. Because if I went on what man would tell me, sometimes I don't hear nothing. I don't hear good job. I don't hear good job, keep on preaching. I hear the commission of what the Holy Ghost would encourage me and say to keep going. Or He shows me the hearts and the needs of those around me, or He'll show me the needs of those that would stand about me each and every day. And sometimes He'll send you to those that need to hear the words of your heart. He'll even show you those in public that need you just to be friendly. My heart and my countenance has begun to grow more in love, not because I know that I should be, because I'm a minister, but because as God has commissioned me to work more in the Holy Ghost, my love and my heart has grown. It cannot help as you seek God to grow in a greater way. Did you hear what I said tonight? You can hear nothing but hear this. When you seek for a greater commission from God, you will feel a greater love in your heart. You will want to serve God in a greater way. You will want to be as Isaiah was. And you will say in your heart, Lord, send me. You will want to get up with the Word inside of your heart. You will want to prophesy. You will want to be at church when the doors open. You will want to invite somebody. You will want to get up there and worship. You won't have to have somebody like we do oftentimes when people have been out for a while, have to encourage them and remind them how to get in there. There will be something. I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. There will be something that will rise up in you that will get you up to be able to say, God, I praise you for what I feel in my heart. There will be something that rises up in you that will be able to say, God, even though, Lord, I still praise you. I still thank you. You think about even on the day of Pentecost, there was only 120 at the time, and all they were commissioned to do was just to linger and pray. 120 people. And I think, Lord, even when it's been jam-packed sometimes, God, we've had an attendance of that number. God, even when it's just been a small number, Lord, we've had that many. And Lord, I think, God, in our perspective, we think that that number and that move of the Spirit, we're so far from that, but guys, we're not far from the move of the Holy Ghost. You're just a whisper away from the presence of God. Just say the word God. You're just a word away from calling out and feeling His presence. If you believe sincerely with your heart and faith, and you call out, lingering in His Spirit, He will give you the provision of what you're seeking after. He said, if you seek the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, that all these other things will be added to you, because you'll be rising up to do His will, and all the other stuff that you were longing for won't matter. And then God will send what you truly need in your life. I think about all the disciples and how I'm sure that they were all good at something, right? Everybody was created with purpose. But you never really read about what their trade was, what they were good at. You never really find that anywhere. Or what it was they were skilled at. Some of us are, you know, I like computers. I'm skilled at that. But the call that is in my heart burns greater than the trade and the craft. The call and commission of the Holy Ghost is greater than that. The calling of God, in other words, is greater than my call for this world and what it has taught me. So if it pulls me, I've got to let God pull me greater. I've got to hear God's voice. And going back to that move of Pentecost, they lingered there and He poured out the Spirit upon them. 3,000 were saved at the obedience of 120. So I'm thinking, Lord, if we could just get in here every night and linger for Your power and come together in one mind, in one accord, in one voice, then we can be that church that lingers to see people saved. Because it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, as it sat upon them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. They had an encounter because of the obedience. God told them to tarry. They were spoken to tarry and wait and pray. I'm thinking, Lord, sometimes some of the best blessings, God, are just my obedience away. But I don't get there because I'm not willing to get in there and pray for it and wait for a little while. Get down and humble myself for 4 or 5 days before I receive the breakthrough. I'm not willing to wait until I can make it to church week after week. So when church comes around, I've already give up on church. I'm not going to go. And you see a pattern. And I think, what can we do to get people to come? And the truth is, you can't. And if people are going, they're being captivated by other things. Because the truth is, you've got to be driven for yourself. It's got to be something in you. Especially if you want to be spiritually fruitful. Because I don't have to ask you. You know that God has got something commissioned in your life to do. An anointed prayer. An anointed word. An anointed ministry. The ability to interpret the word of God. Just to be able to praise Him. To be able to come in and just worship God. To come in and fellowship. To be friendly. To teach. To do something special that would encourage or edify the body. Some people are still searching for their calling, but everybody has the ability to edify the body in some way. That's what we're here for. God has put me here, purposed me here to edify the body. It just so happens that I preach sometimes to do it. But I'm here so that I edify you. I'm here so that I'm able to stir up the gift that lives in you. And I hope tonight that when we go out of here, that we think about, Lord, what is it that You speak to me when I leave here? I feel this going out. Hallelujah. I'm confident. I'm not afraid anymore of what God speaks. I don't think, Lord, is it You? I'm confident in what God is saying.
Think about it when you leave. Lord, what do I need to work on so that when I go, that I'm stronger? How, God, do I need to change so that I love people more? And more than that, Lord, what can I do to be more obedient and less of what pulls me away? And if we really, and not live in denial, if we really asked ourselves those things, we'd see ourselves grow. You'd see yourself climbing up the ladder so quick you couldn't keep up with grabbing to climb. And I try my best to just keep climbing. And I think, Lord, I can't keep up with the pace. And I thank God. Sometimes I feel like the tests are too hard. How many of us have been there? And I know that I hear my own preaching. I have to edit the audio to put it on the broadcast, so don't think I don't have to listen to myself. I know that it sounds hard or impossible or unreasonable. But God would never speak something to us that we're not more than able to do. We're more than able to hear the voice of God and get over these hurdles and hindrances and all these things that have stood in our way for so long. And it's time that we stop just being a hearer of what God says and spend the last part of our life being a doer, so that our children that live around us know us for being a doer of the word. I spend a lot of time around Gail's son, Brandon. And before, I used to try to just be his friend. But being his friend isn't going to make sure that he makes it to heaven. I've had to change my tune. He's 16. He's got to see me in a different light. We live in a different world. I've had to change my tune here. I want to be everybody's buddy and friend. And I'm going to try my best. But I'm going to be God's servant. And if I'm not available to be your friend, know that I'm going to be a servant of God calling out for you. And there might be a word come from me that says that we need to lay off sin sometimes. And that we need to clean up our act sometimes. But remember that it's the commission of God that takes us out so that we can be of help to others. It's not so that we would go to destruction. It's so that we live and stray from it. Because it's a much greater peril to know and do it not than it is to not have the knowledge of it. And for us in this room right now, for us to know, to hear and not heed is a dangerous thing. And I finally just said, God, whatever you want me to do, however silly I sound, however funny I look, God, I'm going to do it. Lord, they might toss me. Lord, they might talk about me. I'm going to do it because I want their children to grow up and still feel the same presence of God I did when I was growing up. I want church to still be church 15, 20 years from now. But if we don't keep it church, if we don't keep the presence of God dwelling, listen, there's churches in other countries. I listen to it on a special on the radio that when the church became like exploded 20 years ago, all the doors are closing in other countries. Missions, missionaries can't find money to do anything anymore. And yet we have some of the biggest churches in the world, but yet it seems like that we can't add any souls to the kingdom. But you don't have to have a big church to make a difference. You just have to start with where you are. You have to start with your own life and hearing the voice of God. Let me read this last part, because it was one I'd never really received from God before. It's in Acts 13. But in Acts 13, it says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manion, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away.
When you put that in perspective of what began after that, that was the commission of Paul as he was beginning to be sent out. And I'm thinking, Lord, if they hadn't had those small meetings sometimes, where would we ever begin our big journeys? God, if we didn't have small services like this sometimes to receive these words that's being preached to you right now, how would we ever have great big services to ever see our loved ones get in here? If we don't ever receive a word in the small times to say, get our act together, hear the Spirit of God and obey Him so you can have an outpouring of the Holy Ghost when the time counts, when are we ever going to get it? Well, the time is now. There are people around us listening all the time. The Word even says that we entertain angels unaware. We're always in a place where we're a witness, even a witness unto ourselves. Because if you think that nobody else is watching, you're always watching yourself. You can't hide your own stuff from yourself. You can't hide your own mistakes from yourself. You can't hide disobedience from yourself. If you hear the voice of God and you sit back on the voice of God, you can't hide that from yourself. And listen, I fought that battle for a long time. I knew that God was calling me out, and yet I tried to run away. I tried to go away from that, but I knew that God had something greater. And Doris, I thought, if I had just got in when God had called me, how much further, even here, that we could be? I feel like, Lord, how many did we lose because I didn't get in on time? How many, God, did I hold back and hurt because I didn't get in on time? How many did I get in the way of because I didn't begin my ministry quick enough? There's so many that need us to start now. They need your voice now. They need your obedience now, especially if you're willing and able. We've got a lot of willing, working, well-able people in here to do the work. So I'm being very blunt about it tonight. I'm being very blunt and honest. And I'm not going to cut any corners with this next sentence. I know as we go out of here that you hear the voice of God to tell you what to do. I know you do. I know we all have a calling. And God needs you to mind Him. Hallelujah. God needs us to mind Him in the big things and the small things. I'll say this and I'll get out of the way. I can't imagine what the Bible would be without the journeys of Paul. And I can't imagine without those three small verses about them just sitting around praying and fasting, where all of that would have been. The journey of the ship. Or him getting off of the boat, getting bit by a serpent, throwing it off, and all of the people being astonished. And how many services that we would have not been able to look back on and know that God was surely here in this place to keep us coming back without somebody stepping up and throwing the enemy off of them and still stepping out and saying, I believe that God is surely with us. Do you feel that peace right now? I feel it just swelled all over me right now. We just don't need to be afraid anymore. Just need to be obedient and just step out for God. Because as He spoke to you, when He speaks, He's given you the commission. It becomes obedience when you act upon it. Because listen, I've thought of another way to say worship. Because when we say the word worship, people are like, nope, I'm not worshiping. Because you want me to jump up and down and get radical. No, let's go another direction with this. I'm going to start trying to say it another way. Worship is love in action. Worship is a way that you demonstrate how that you care about somebody. If you love God, you are going to show in action that you love Him. You are going to give something of yourself to the one who sent His Son to die for you. And it's not just going to be, you know, Lord, that I love you. And don't give me this, He knows my heart. Don't give me that. Because I know on Valentine's Day, Angela is not going to accept, she knows my heart, is she? Well, I'm going to try that out and I'll let you know how it goes. It's love in action. It goes a lot further when you show somebody you care. It goes a lot further when you hug them. when you get a hold of the person you care about and say, I love you. When you let them know openly. But I'm not getting radical, brother. I'm not a part of that movement, that jumping up and down, hooting and hollering, hand-raising, modern, contemporary. I'm not a part of that. Well, get a part of just showing God that you love him in a way that he's called you. Just being obedient. Just stepping out and taking action in some way. Being a witness. I mean, come on, I love the Lord enough. And I feel like sometimes when I worship that my feet are just so weighted down in concrete, but you know that that's not your inability to be able to enjoy something. That's the enemy trying to hinder worship from breaking forth in church. And if we could just ever get our feet loose enough to worship, we'd be able to enjoy ourselves. Hallelujah. Because generally, if you feel like your feet are feeling that way, somebody else's is right there in the concrete with you. Hallelujah. But I'm feeling like the more that I get them out of there, the more that I get broken, the looser they feel, and I'm able to enjoy myself. How long has it been since I've been able to enjoy anything? I don't know. If you're miserable enough, you could have the best filet in town and still not enjoy a good steak. Come on, somebody. You could have something that a $250 meal right there, and it'd just be... Don't tell me. You can literally persuade yourself that you're sick. And not be sick. You can be so sick and tired of being sick and tired that you can't enjoy anything. Your taste buds will change. It's a proven science. And yet we cannot trust God enough to get up and be able to lift ourselves up. It was even said in the Bible like this, in a way of encouragement. It's translated several ways, but I like the way of the King James. It says, I think myself happy. In other words, I consider a cause to be different. I consider an alternative to my current situation. I think of another way out of what I'm currently in. Or in other words, it was a statement of faith, an act of faith. So tonight, I leave you with this. When God speaks to you, just be obedient. That's it. Be obedient, and He'll bless you for it.